Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org and on the WDIY app. Today is August 19th, 2026. The markets were up a bit today with the Dow closing at 53,643, the NASDAQ at 26,331, and the S&P at, oh, where did I write it down? It was 7,000 something. Let me just see what it is. I apologize, folks. I had written it down on my other note. The S&P was at 7,707. Our topic this evening is the biggest financial decisions I'm seeing these days. I'll tell you what those are after my intro. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Cindy is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information. We ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. You can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable speaking live on air, you can just give your question to Cindy and she'll bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com, as well as show ideas. I would love for anybody to submit show ideas. I'm always looking for ideas. So let's talk about some of the biggest financial decisions I'm seeing these days. I don't know if this tends to run in, you know, if these questions run in packs, if people are responding to what they're seeing in, you know, the paper or on television or on, you know, whatever devices they might be listening to. But it does seem like we're consistently getting very similar questions these days. And starting with, when do I take Social Security? That's a topic, and it could just be where we are generationally. Should I convert IRA money to Roth? And do I have enough money to live on? There's also, where do I take my money from when I need it? Do I pay off the mortgage? And questions I like to say that aren't always being asked that we're bringing up to clients are, you know, what should you be doing for your estate planning? That is something that I do think people are thinking about more. And I don't know if it's because we're always driving those questions. We think that's really critical. It's always my mission to get everyone to get their estate planning done. But again, some big financial decisions, you know, probably top of mind, when do I take Social Security and do I convert IRA money to Roth? And of course, do I have enough money to live on? So any of these questions that I just mentioned, though, really are very specific to the person that it's happening to or that has the question. I have said that your financial life is as unique as your thumbprint. It's as unique as your thumbprint. There are so many factors to consider in any of these decisions. We talk about, I've had people say to me, oh, is you know, AI going to take your job? Well, it might certainly help with my job. It might help clients be more informed and know kind of what questions to ask. I do still feel that there is so much personal sentiment, personal emotions, personal circumstances that factor into any of these decisions that I don't think AI necessarily at this point can really factor that in. Factor in, you know, someone's, you know, family life experience, what they grew up with, how they learned you know, their financial matters from their parents. And you could have a child who lived with parents who were very frugal, and they could grow up to be very frugal. And the next child could spend like wildfire because they lived so frugally. So, you know, every person's situation, circumstance is different. It doesn't always, you know, matter what influence we have. Then we talk about life expectancy. Someone might, you know, have a very long life expectancy. Someone might have a short life expectancy. Maybe one parent did and one parent didn't, and you don't know what you're going to land with. So again, very different circumstances. Do you have a spouse that you need to make sure you're taking care of? Do you have children that you want to provide something for, or grandchildren? So many nuances to all of this. But when I pulled back and I started looking at, you know, answering the question, when do I take Social Security? There are so many factors for that. And then so many options that may apply to different people as well. If you're single, not married, never have been married, and worked, then your options are very different and much simpler than the options for someone who's been married, maybe someone who's been divorced, someone who's lost a spouse. Lots of different circumstances. If I had to put this on a flow chart, it could actually get quite confusing and a little bit overwhelming, which is why I think some people tend to work with a financial advisor, because it can be overwhelming trying to make these decisions. And really, often these decisions are based on the information that you have available to yourself at the time. And it, you know, 2 years from now, that might not have been the best decision, but it was the best decision that you made with the information you had available 2 years ago when you made the decision, you see? So you make the best decision with the information that you have at the time. And what am I talking about there? What did I mean by, you know, that might not always be the case, and you have to make your decisions based on the information you have today? One thing that's always changing is tax law. So tax laws change. So sometimes that might have impacted our decision had we anticipated the change in the tax law. That could include income taxes. That could include, you know, tax filings if you're married or divorced or have lost a spouse, things you can't always anticipate. It could be federal estate tax application, you know. When I started in the business, the federal exemption was $600,000. People who had estates more than $600,000 had to file a federal estate tax return, and there was high federal estate taxes. Well, now the federal estate exemption is $15 million. So when we talk about some of these pertinent financial decisions, whether it's when to take Social Security or not, or converting an IRA money to Roth, you know, gosh, if I had known, you know, maybe I'm trying to manage that federal estate tax in as part of my decision for converting or not. And then I find out, oh, I, you know, the estate's not subject to estate taxes anymore because the exemption's so high. Maybe I would have made a different decision. So, you know, in answering these, just keep in mind, unique to your situation, and always consider your options before you make a decision. I always like people to explore their options before they make a decision, because that's when you have more options. I am going to spend quite a bit of time talking about Social Security. We subscribe to something called Savvy Social Security. It's really great, great information. And I've referenced some of the, you know, information that they provide. It's kind of what we talk with our clients about regularly, but it's kind of a little bit, you know, more organized in talking about the different options. When I'm working with clients, I'm talking about the options that are applicable to them alone. You, my listening audience, I don't know what situation's applicable to you. This is educational. So I'm going to kind of throw out a bunch of the different options, understanding that I might have listeners from all different circumstances and situations. So when we come back from that first break, we're going to talk about, you know, the considerations in applying for Social Security, a little bit about how Social Security is calculated, and then what might be applicable to you, the earner, or a spouse, a survivor, an ex-spouse. There's lots of nuances to this. Again, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Lights, laughter, local celebrities, and a great cause. Tickets are now on sale for WDIY's Lehigh Valley Hollywood Squares happening Tuesday, October 27th at the State Theater in Easton. Join your favorite community personalities for a live game show with comedy, trivia, audience participation, and raffles, all benefiting WDIY. Get your tickets today at statetheater.org/event/Hollywood-squares and be part of one of the Lehigh Valley's most entertaining nights of the year.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, you can talk live on air with me or give your question to Cindy. The number is 610-758-8810. Running into the biggest financial decisions I'm seeing these days, when do I take Social Security? Let's start with the most basic premise. The decision to apply for Social Security depends on your personal circumstances, as I mentioned. Your thumbprint. Your financial life is like your thumbprint, individual to you. Some of the considerations could include your health status, your life expectancy, your need for income, whether you plan to work or not work, or if you're going to have a surviving spouse, whether you have other personal resources. So kind of pulling back, these are some of the circumstances. And for example, when I say health status, Your family may have longevity, but maybe you're not in good health at all. That could impact when you file. Or you come from a long family history of, you know, everyone kicks off at age 65. You know, there's heart issues, or you're a smoker or alcoholic or something like that. Things like that that really play into life expectancy as well. That may, you know, push you one way or another to collect sooner. Some people will say, oh, I don't think Social Security is going to be there when it's time for me to collect, so I'm going to collect as soon as I can. Well, that could have repercussions. And frankly, I've been in the business, you know, for 30 plus years, and I think I've been hearing that entire time as well. And it's still here. There are, you know, provisions they've made over the years to kind of modify the system, and to hopefully they'll continue to do that to secure it. So I think it's better to kind of think about what makes sense for you in your circumstances. Waiting does provide a higher benefit. And when you think about a higher benefit and we think about cost of living adjustments, which typically we do get on Social Security, and in your mind just kind of average it to be 2%. I think this past year it was 2.5%. So that cost of living adjustment, that's what we call the COLA, cost of living adjustment. That COLA adjustment, imagine on a bigger number. Would you want a higher, you know, you have a CD at the bank, you have $10,000, you get 2% on it. And if you had $100,000, you get 2% on it. That there's a big difference in the amount of money that would be. The same thing happens with Social Security. Not to that extreme, of course, but if you delay longer or have higher earnings, you're going to have a higher benefit, which then those cost of living adjustments would have a bigger impact on that. If you're married, a higher benefit will be better for a surviving spouse. So you want to make sure that you, you know, factor that in as well. And I'm going to talk more about that. So the first concept to understand is full retirement age. This is the age at which you may claim full unreduced Social Security benefits, or what they call your primary insurance amount. So you'll see these terms, FRA, full retirement age, PIA, primary insurance amount. And a lot of people think age 62 when they think of Social Security. They say, oh, when I'm retirement age. And I say, well, what is retirement age? And they say, oh, 62. And I say, well, where did you come up with that? Oh, Social Security. That's when I collect Social Security. That's the early retirement age for Social Security. It doesn't mean it's your retirement age. Your retirement age could be whenever you retire. It could be before that. It could be after that. It could be according, if you're working, sometimes the employer plans will say normal retirement age is 65. So get that kind of out of your head that means it's retirement age. Don't think of it like that. So if you were to collect early, There's a few factors that you have to pay attention to. One, you kind of have a permanent reduction in your benefit, depending on your full retirement age. So people 1960 or later, their full retirement age is 67. Pre-1960, 1955 to 1959, those years, it was like 66 and a month, 66 and 2 months, 66 and 3 months, kind of like that. And prior to that, it was age 66. And even prior to that, I think it used to be age 65. So they've kind of have modified that over the years. If you collect early, there are earnings tests if you did decide to work. So you have to be careful or mindful of that. But if you collect early, you are taking a reduction. Now, let me see if I can explain this up front again. I like to kind of lay out the framework, set the table for this. Social Security calculates your benefit based on your earnings over a period of time. They take the highest 35 years and do some factoring. I'm not going to get into that right now, but they do some factoring. And the lower portion of the income has a bigger factor. And then there's another tier which has, you know, a little bit less of a factor, and then another tier which has a little bit less of a factor. And then over a certain dollar amount, there's no benefit. So if you make, you know, $1 million, you're not getting more of a benefit than if you made, $180,000. Okay. So they calculate this benefit to come up with what would be your full retirement age benefit, your primary insurance amount at your full retirement age. If you collect early, there is a haircut on it. Why? Let's think about it. Why would there be a haircut if you collect early? That's because Social Security takes all your earnings over this 35-year period. They run some calculations and they say, here's your bucket of money. And with your bucket of money, if you collect early over your life expectancy that we've calculated, it means we're going to be paying you, let's say up to, I'm going to pretend your life expectancy is to age 85. If you collect early, they're paying you through age 85, according to their calculations, you know, what they estimate you're going to die. They're going to say, oh, we think they're going to die at 85, so we're going to pay them till 85. Well, if I collect 4 years early, it means that I'm collecting, let's say, I can't figure out these numbers, 63. I'm going to be collecting 4 years earlier, longer, 4 years longer in that life expectancy calculation than where they thought you would if you waited till full retirement age. So they're going to give you a little haircut because you're collecting longer, a little bit of a smaller amount for a longer period of time. If I wait 4 years, if I wait till my full retirement age, they're not going to give me a haircut. And it means I'm collecting over the normal life expectancy. They're not going to give me a haircut. With that bucket of money, I'm going to get a higher amount each month because I waited. But I'm still only going to get paid, like in their mind, if I die at 85, it would factor in. It's kind of like the present value of this bucket of money. So just keep that in mind. So typically, a longer period of time, a little bit of a haircut, because you're getting it for more years. If you do full retirement age, you're, you know, getting the regular benefit. If you wait, because you've waited, now in their mind, it's a shorter period of time, and they're going to give you even more than your full retirement age amount, more than your primary insurance amount. You get an 8% increase, actually, after full retirement age if you're waiting that long. There could be a reason to do that. There could be a reason to wait. And I'm going to talk about that. It's particularly if you think you're going to have longer life expectancy and or you have a spouse that you may want to provide a higher benefit for. Okay, folks, if you have questions, we're coming up on the second break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking about some of the big financial decisions that I'm seeing people talk about these days. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
1 year ago, our community stepped up when federal funding for public media disappeared.
You proved that WDIY matters, but that support can't be a one-time response. It must become our new foundation.
If it's been a year since your last gift, now is the perfect time to renew it.
Your donation keeps local journalism, music, and community voices on the air.
Renew your support today at WDIY.org.
Thank you for investing in the future of WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. We are talking about some big financial decisions people seem to have at top of mind these days. I'm highlighting and probably spending more time talking about Social Security, and I have some tips from Savvy Social Security. Let's talk about maximizing the benefit. So people say, when should I collect? Well, when should you collect depends on your circumstances, and let's look at your record. So you can usually get your record by signing up for an account at socialsecurity.gov and setting up a My Account. They have some security questions you have to go through and complete, and then you can get a record of your earnings and see what they're projecting your benefit to be. Once you turn age 60, they will mail you a statement. If you're already collecting, they don't update it. They don't send you a statement. But if you wanted to maximize your benefits, one of the things you want to do is, if you can, improve your earnings record. So first you want to check your annual statement to make sure your earnings record is accurate. Mistakes are rare, but it can happen. I know that even between my husband and I saw where it almost looked like they flipped our earnings. This is when we were first married. They had my earnings were his and his earnings were mine. It's what it looked like, but it's all going to wash out because we have very long work records. So it was not taken in because they consider your top 35 years. So if you don't have 35 years of earnings, you can work a few more years so that they don't have zeros. So for example, perhaps you were someone who was out of the workforce for whatever reason. Maybe you had children, one of you might have stayed home with the children, and you didn't have certain earning years, but then the children kind of moved on, and now you're back in the workforce. You could, you know, increase your benefit by working some extra years if you didn't have a full 35-year record of earnings. If you had some zeros in there, because they calculate it based on 35 years. So if they're dividing, you know, the total number that they have factored in and divided by 35, and you had 3 years of zeros, well, now maybe just work a few years and now you don't have zeros and it could make a difference. So check your earnings record, or maybe those you might have had really low earnings as part of those 35 years and you have higher earning opportunities now, you could do that. Even if you started receiving Social Security and you continue to work, your earnings record will be updated. However, it's important to know that if you start receiving Social Security before full retirement age, if you earn over $22,320 a year, $1 in benefits will be withheld for every $2 you earn over that threshold. So this is in the years, you know, before full retirement age. There's earning limits. So if you earn more than that amount and you already started collecting Social Security, you have to pay back a dollar for every two, but then they adjust your record. So it's not like you lost out necessarily. They're going to adjust your record for having, you know, continued to work and calculating that benefit if it's still part of the 35 years. There is a special, once you reach full retirement age, you don't have to pay back anything. But in the year you reach full retirement age, it's like a one for every $3 over that amount. So just be aware of being careful in those years. Generally, I don't like people to file for Social Security if they're still working. I don't want you to have to worry about paying something back. It's just a little bit complicated, and sometimes it just throws everything off. You also want to keep in mind there is, if you have reached full retirement age and you filed, you can suspend your application if you're still working or you want to wait till age 70. So let's pretend you waited till full retirement age, and let's say your full retirement age was 66 and now you're 68 and you got a great opportunity. You're going to go back to work for a couple years. You could suspend your Social Security and it could continue to accrue. Again, all these little nuances, who knew? It could get complicated. Just be aware that working can impact your Social Security benefit if you're pre-full retirement age, and or if you're between full retirement age and age 70, you may be able to suspend. Once you're age 70, you just might as well take it because you're just losing out on money if you don't take it. You don't earn any more after age 70. So filing at the optimal time for you all depends on your circumstances. For example, there could have been a job change, which, you know, precipitated your application for Social Security. You might have needed some cash flow, so you filed and you didn't realize, oh, you were going to get a job. We have Lawrence. Lawrence. Hi, Lawrence. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Lori. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi. Welcome back.
Well, your show is wonderful. Thank you so much. So I've got a question dealing with the disposition of your personal possessions when you pass or when you incapacitated.
Yep.
Now I'm still learning. Someone told me about a form called assignment of property form to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And they suggested that I have that form and have it put in my will, so that my executor can handle my personal possessions and not have to deal with probate. What do you think about that? Does it make sense?
Well, based on what you just said, you said someone told you to make it part of your will. If it's part of your will, then it's probate. So, do you have a separate trust?
I have a revocable trust.
Okay, if you have a revocable trust, then yes, then what you would do is you wouldn't assign it through the will. You would just say, you know, all of my personal property is in my trust. So, did you put if you put your house in the trust? Quite often, the personal property goes with the home, and your attorney may have already included that in the description of the document. So, your trust might already say that, or they might have already written something up as part of the trust to say, you know, my home is in the trust as well as all the, you know, personal property and belongings. But yeah, you can. You can do that. You can do that.
All right, question. I'm done. I'm learning. So I have my home in the revocable trust, but I don't believe the trust specifically talks about my personal possessions.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder, last question, as a house of the trust, does that automatically include any possessions I have in the house?
It may not, but that's probably why someone's telling you to do this assignment of property. But I would say assign it to the trust. I thought originally I heard you say through the will. So just don't do it through the will. The will would say if you already have a will, right? I would assume.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you have assigned your personal property to the trust with this document, then I think what they may have been indicating is put that with all of your other documents so that your executor eventually knows all of the personal property was assigned. So I'm going to have an attorney on the show in September, and I'll specifically ask him this to make sure. But yes, I have seen that where they do assign the personal property to the trust, if you have a trust anyway. I agree. If you already have the trust, it is a way to do that. Mm-hmm.
Well, Lori, I would say I'm glued to your show. Ms. Lori, thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
you're
you so
welcome.
Much.
Good luck. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's a great question. That's all part of that estate planning. And that's why it's really important to work with an attorney as well, so that you do get the proper documents and that you kind of cover all of that. Sometimes people may be trying to avoid probate completely, and then they have to probate anyway because maybe they have a car that they missed. So something to think about. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, as Lawrence did, or leave your question with Cindy and she'll bring it in. 610-758-8810. We're talking about the biggest financial decisions I'm seeing these days. I'm going to try to go through these Social Security considerations a little faster. So we did talk about, oh, we have another question. This is from Joe off air. He's in Nazareth. He's retired, does part-time work. The employer is still taking out money from his paycheck for Social Security and Medicare. Is this right? Yes, Joe, that is right. So you said you're retired. You're working part-time. I don't know if you have started collecting Social Security or not based on this, because you can retire and not file for Social Security yet. But yes, as long as you're working and have wages, they are going to collect Social Security and Medicare tax from your paycheck, and that factors into your Social Security calculation. Now, Joe, in your circumstance, if you haven't already signed up for the online access for Social Security, what you could, or you perhaps you have filed in your drawer the Social Security statement of your work record, and that might show that your highest 35 years you might have already had. So the part-time work you're doing right now may not impact that Social Security benefit, or it may. I don't know. It depends on your highest 35 years. If you have already started collecting Social Security and you're working part-time, you have to make under 20, if you retired early, if you're not full retirement age, you can make like 23,000, what did I say, 22,320, and you can keep all your Social Security. If you make over that, then you'd have to pay back a dollar for every two if you're under full retirement age. If you're already full retirement age, you don't have to pay it back. But yes, they will continue to collect it whether you're working or not. I mean, my father-in-law worked till 93 and they were still collecting Social Security and Medicare tax on him. So yes, it's true. If any of your 35 years were less than what you're currently making, then what you're currently making part-time would be substituted into their formula and may or may not give you a bigger benefit. Okay? So thank you for the question. That's a good one. So when we're talking about the Social Security, I said, you know, your circumstance is unique to you. You want to file at the optimal time for you. And also there's ways to maximize your benefits, and it, especially and particularly for coordinating for spousal benefits. The goal is to maximize income for both of you while you're alive and maximize income for the survivor after one of you dies. It can be quite complicated. And so let me kind of give you some just tips on that. If you have two spouses, you have more options than the person who was never married. The person who was never married, it's their own benefit. There is not a survivor benefit because if they die, there's no one left. You know, that's what it is. So very, very different options for a single person. If you're married, now it depends on if both of you worked. So let's take a simpler example and say one did all the work and the other one rarely worked or didn't work very much. They raised the children, whatever it might be. So the higher earner has this great benefit and the lower earner or the spouse who didn't work has either no benefit or a very small benefit. Well, the Social Security back in the day was really set up for the worker who was typically who? Sorry, girls, the man. The man was typically the earner. The wife was typically the one who stayed home and took care of the kids. The man typically had the higher benefit, and we're still seeing that even today. Because when they go back and look at the 35 years, well, if women are out of the workforce raising children, they don't always have that full 35 years. So when we're talking about maximizing benefits, we need to coordinate and think about not just the benefit for the higher earner, but the benefit that's going to be available for the survivor, so, and what's called a spousal benefit, which I'll talk about in a minute. So we have a higher earner and maybe a spousal benefit, or that spouse could have their own earnings record. Let's assume that the spouse's own earning record is lower than what a spousal benefit would be. What does that mean? Oh my gosh, you guys, it gets so complicated. So, and I'm going to just say, I'm going to use husband and wife, and I apologize, but I have to use husband and wife to differentiate. So we have husband who might, his benefit, he waited a long time, his benefit, his primary insurance amount might be $3,500, and the spouse's benefit is $300 a month. So the spouse had her own earnings record, but it's only $300 a month. But under these old rules under Social Security, when it started, it said, hey, husbands, you're working. We're going to help you provide for a spousal benefit once you start collecting. So I said husband was at $3,500, wife was at $300, and the spousal benefit is typically half of the primary insurance amount. The primary insurance amount is that amount at full retirement age, and in my little story here, $3,500. The spousal benefit, once husband starts collecting, the lower earning spouse could get a 50% of their primary insurance amount, the $3,500. They would get, what is that, $1,750, I think? $1,750. That's better than their $300. So Social Security is going to up the, you know, the lower earning spouse's benefit from $300 to $1,750 in my story if that lower earning spouse collects at full retirement age. If that that spouse, lower earning spouse, wants to collect early and husband hasn't collected yet, then they can only collect on their own record. So if I'm the lower earning spouse, I can only collect $300 because I don't have a spousal benefit until my spouse files. Now, in this story, let's say, oh, no, the husband wanted to provide a higher benefit. They have longevity in the family. He wanted to provide a higher benefit for his spouse in the event anything happens to him. He decides to wait till age 70 to collect, and maybe his benefit, and I'm making these numbers up, if he waits till age 70 to collect, instead of $3,500, he's going to get $4,200. So now you're going to say, oh, Lori, they're going to get half of $4,200. That would be $2,100. No, that's not right, because even if they wait till age 70, the spousal benefit is only half of the primary insurance amount. The lower earning spouse does not get 50% of the age 70 benefit. They get 50% of the primary insurance amount. So now husband has waited till age 70. He collects $4,200. My lower earning spouse, her benefit had been $300, and now it might be $1,750. But wait, she collected before full retirement age. So now there's a little bit of a haircut on her half. So there's a little bit of a haircut on that $1,750. She's not going to get the full $1,750. A year later, husband dies. He had been getting $4,200 a month. Survivor benefit, $4,200 a month. So the survivor loses their own lower benefit and steps into the higher benefit. Doesn't matter if it's the husband, the wife, whoever survives gets the higher benefit. Okay, little complicated. What did I just talk about there? I just talked about your own work record. You're the worker, the earner, your own work record. I talked about a spousal benefit, and I talked about a survivor benefit. So there are a number of considerations that you want to consider. And when you're maximizing that Social Security benefit, don't discount that survivor. Sometimes, you know, it's astonishing to me. Sometimes I hear spouses say, well, I'm going to live my life and I don't think I'm going to live long, so I'm going to live my life. And they take the money and they spend it all. And then that poor survivor ends up with not very much. So you want to kind of consider all of these things. So other ways then to maximize your benefit is to minimize the tax on the benefit. So many people are very surprised to learn that Social Security can be income taxable. It can be income taxable up to 85%. My mother gets Social Security. She doesn't pay any income tax on it because my mom has just Social Security. So there's no income tax on it because it's income based. For higher earners on their tax return, let's pretend you have a pension, you have a 401k distribution, you have interest in dividends. All of a sudden you have, you know, $70,000 of other income on your tax return. Well, your Social Security benefits are going to be included at 85%. So it could be anywhere from zero inclusion to up to 85%, somewhere in between. So once you do file for Social Security, you might want to factor this in. Because the more income you have on your tax return, the more that Social Security is going to be included for taxable income. This comes into, and I'm going to kind of jump around here for a second because I'm running out of time. This comes into the decision about, should I do a conversion of IRA money to Roth? If you're not collecting Social Security, what does that mean? You have lower income on your tax return. I have more room. If let's pretend you retired in 2026, you retired this year, the beginning of the year, you had a bunch of cash in the bank, you're paying your bills with the cash you have in the bank, and you say, hey, can I convert any money to Roth? Well, we've got a lot of room to convert money from IRA to Roth at perhaps low tax brackets, lower tax brackets that you might be in now than you would be in the future. And I have a nice little window of opportunity. As soon as you collect Social Security, if you now are collecting Social Security and your Social Security gross benefit, I'm going to make this up, is $40,000, 85% included. I can't do that number in my head. Let's pretend it's 85% times 40, I don't know, $32,000 is taxable, could be taxable. If I put more money on your tax return to convert IRA money to Roth, then more of your Social Security would be included that it otherwise would not have been. So I have a window to convert IRA money to Roth when I don't have that chunk of Social Security on your tax return. So that could be one reason to wait because I want to do conversion. Second reason to wait could be I want to maximize my benefit, wait a little bit longer, get you know, a little bit extra benefit because I'm waiting longer and, you know, play my other tax brackets. Maybe, you know, do conversions now when I'm in a lower tax bracket while I'm retired and not receiving Social Security, because once I start my required minimum distributions, now my income goes up. Now my Social Security gets taxable, and now I actually might be in a higher tax bracket in those later retirement years than I am now, okay? Circular calculations, that's what we call it, circular calculations. Don't think you're in a 12% tax bracket and you put, you know, $50,000 on your tax return and you have Social Security because all of a sudden you're not paying 12% tax, you're paying, you know, what could be 22%. Circular calculation. You want to see what it ends up being. Folks, I'll try to get this wrapped up in the next 15 minutes. I had so much more to say. I might have to do like a part two on this because there is a lot more to talk about with Social Security. I'm going to try to hit on some of those points when I come back and then maybe touch on some of those other big questions that we see people asking about. If you have questions, there's still some time. Phone number is 610-758-8810, or you can submit them through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. Phone number 610-758-8810. Let me hit on some of these spousal considerations because I think this is really critical and important. First, do you qualify for benefits on your own record? And by the way, I am referencing Savvy Social Security, but these are questions we ordinarily would ask. First, do you qualify for benefits on your own work record, as I mentioned earlier? If you paid into Social Security for at least 10 years, you do. The 10 years do not have to be consecutive. So that's really important to know. We have a caller from Brightonsville. We have Mark. Mark, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How can I help you?
Well, I'm age of 55, and I'm thinking of filing for disability with the Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
So will that Social Security disability will get only till age 65, and after that it will switch to original Social Security, or this disability will continue forever?
Typically what happens, Mark, as I understand it, is if you, number one, you have to qualify for the Social Security disability, and it's not always easy to qualify. Sometimes you have to apply a couple times. Sometimes you have to get an attorney involved. But let's say you do qualify for Social Security disability. They're going to pay you, I believe, what your primary insurance amount is. So you get your regular Social Security benefit. You're just getting it early. So you will, this is how I understand it. So you get a full benefit. It's not like discounted necessarily. It's whatever it would calculate to be. And then when you reach regular your full retirement age, which may be 67, if you're, let's say, 55, your full retirement age for Social Security would be 67, then technically you switch over to regular Social Security. But really, the disability, it's really a better benefit. It's different than filing early. So if you're 62 and you file early, you get a haircut. But if you're 62 and disabled, I don't think you're getting the haircut. Are you following me on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So okay. That's to help you out. And then the other thing to keep in mind is if you do qualify for Social Security disability, I think, and I'm not an expert on this, I'll have to get someone to come on the show to talk about it, but I think you have to be on disability, Social Security disability for 2 years, and then you can qualify for Medicare early. Normally, people do not qualify for Medicare until age 65. That's where you're hearing the age 65 you mentioned. 65 is not the full retirement age benefit for you. It would be 67, but you can qualify for Medicare at 65 unless you're disabled. And if you're disabled, I think there's a 2-year wait period or something like that is in the back of my mind, unless you're terminal, maybe with like, you know, renal failure or something like that. Okay.
Just to clarify, is that the Social Security disability, I'll get it. And after 2 years, I can apply for the Medicare also.
That's how I understand it, unless you have a particular medical condition that would qualify you for Medicare sooner. So once you start this process, you'll be dealing with Medicare and Social Security, and they should be able to help guide you through it. And, of course, your doctors would also have to, you know, confirm all of this. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Have a good night. And some people might not realize that even when you are on Social Security disability, you still may have the opportunity to work without you know, infringing upon that benefit. So you also want to talk to Social Security about that. You know, from years ago when I used to have someone come in and talk about it in particular, they always wanted to remind people, you know, that Social Security still would like to try to help encourage you to be able to get back to work. And sometimes you just need to test it out and see how you're doing, and you may be able to start working again, and they're not going to penalize you for, you know, trying that out. All right. So thank you for the call, Mark. And thank you, listeners, tonight. I love the questions. So spousal considerations, do you qualify for benefits on your own work record? If you worked at least 10 years, you should. The 10 years don't have to be consecutive. Are you currently married? Has your spouse started Social Security? Remember I said earlier, if your spouse has started collecting Social Security, you may need to find out if your spousal benefit would be higher. The IRS, or excuse me, the Social Security office kind of gotten a tiny bit of a like a hot water for this, that there were spouses out there who maybe started collecting their own benefit. And when their higher earner spouse went to collect their benefit, the lower earning spouse should have switched over to their spousal benefit because it was higher. And Social Security didn't automatically do that, didn't alert them. So there were people out there who were still like perhaps collecting their own lower benefit without realizing that they could have stepped into a higher spousal benefit. So if listeners, if you're married, you might want to review your Social Security benefits and kind of look at your statements. Where I see real disparity, it may not put you in the position to think, oh gosh, I should have done it. Look how low my benefit is. If I have someone who has a Social Security statement with $45,000 and then the spouse has one for $18,000, you think, well, that's not half. Lori was talking about that on the radio. That's not half. Well, guess what? If the one spouse waited till 70, number one, I said it's not on your age 70 benefit, it's on your primary insurance amount, full retirement age benefit. So that's one, could be lower than that. And then the second thing is if you lower earner spouse started collecting early, you still will have a haircut. So it may not always be just half, but it's certainly something to look at. And what I typically am looking at on the bottom of the Social Security statement, it'll have your Social Security number at the top. And sometimes I'm eyeballing the Social Security number on the bottom of the statement because it says, I believe and understand that it's telling us whose Social Security number is driving the benefit. So if it's, you know, husband's at the top, husband's at the bottom, wife at the top, wife at the bottom, you're collecting your own benefits. But what I've seen, and this is me just making this up, but when I've seen wife at the top and husband's at the bottom, I'm thinking she's collecting the spousal benefit. I never confirmed if that was accurate, but that's how I look for it. All right. So depending on your, are you currently married? Have you ever had any prior marriages? This is really a big thing. So again, divorced spouses, listen, if so, and you meet the requirements, you may qualify for benefits of a former spouse's work record. And I have had where spouses say, well, you know, I have two ex-wives and how is that going to affect my benefit? It doesn't affect your benefit. And, you know, it doesn't. It's just one of those weird things with Social Security. So depending on your answers to the previous questions, you could be entitled to one or more of the following benefits. You could be entitled to your own retirement benefits. You could be entitled to spousal benefits. You could be entitled to divorce spouse benefits or survivor benefits. So how you coordinate all these benefits is crucial in determining your overall Social Security income. If you apply early, your benefit starts out at some fraction of your primary insurance amount and remains at that percentage for the rest of your life. Your benefit, remember, but I said you collect longer though, so just remember that. Your benefit amount is locked in at the time you apply and only goes up with annual cost of living adjustments, or as I mentioned earlier, if you actually still worked, it could also change it. When to apply, again, impacts survivor benefits. So you want to be cognizant of that. If your spouse earned more than you did so that their primary insurance amount is higher than yours, it's even more important for them to delay filing. This will increase your survivor benefit. If the higher earner dies first, their higher benefit will transfer over to you. So you want to do whatever it takes to maximize that survivor benefit. Now, but didn't I say earlier it's as unique as your thumbprint? Yes, because you may not want to do whatever it takes to maximize the survivor benefit if you're running up credit card debt and have no money. I mean, you might need to file for Social Security despite trying to get a higher benefit. You might need that money today. So your circumstance is individual to you. But waiting till age 70 certainly does bump that benefit up quite a bit. Now, the spousal benefits, let me just explain that a little bit more. 50% of the spouse's primary insurance amount if you apply at your full retirement age. A basic example, Jack and Jill are married. Jack's primary insurance amount is $2,400. Jill never worked, so she doesn't qualify for Social Security on her own record. After Jack files for his benefit, Jill can file for her spousal benefit. The amount will be 50% of his primary insurance amount if she files for it at her full retirement age. The reason I mention that is because it could make a difference for divorced spouses. Remember, I said Jack had to file for his benefit before Jill could get her spousal benefit. Now, when we come to divorce spouse benefits, if you were married over 10 years to the same spouse and are currently unmarried, then pay attention to this. If your marriage lasted at least 10 years, if you're currently unmarried and your ex-spouse is at least 62, you may be entitled to a divorce spouse benefit. If the divorce occurred more than 2 years ago, they do not need to have filed for their own benefit. They only need to be 62. All right? So if you took in everything I was talking about and I said spousal benefits, you only get them when your spouse files, there is an exception here for divorce. If that divorced spouse was at least 62, the divorce occurred more than 2 years ago, then that spouse did not need to file for you to be able to file. Why is that important? Because your ex-spouse could spite you and not file till 70, and you could be, you know, in the poorhouse and need some money. So that's the little benefit there. There's survivor benefits also. The survivor benefits, as I mentioned, you step into the higher benefit. That's also could be available for divorced spouses. Too much for me to talk about with the time I have left. If you remarry after age 60, you can still get survivor benefits or divorce spouse survivor benefits. There's implications to getting married, you know, for divorces and lots of complications. I can't cover it all. I'll have to do another show on that. But let me see if I can make some comments on some of these other big financial decisions I mentioned earlier. Should I convert IRA money to Roth? I would say, you look for those opportunities. Bottom line, you can consider converting from IRA to Roth to lower income tax. So, or if you're in a lower income tax bracket now, we always say you convert when you think you're in a lower income tax bracket than you will be in the future. And I want you to think about that. It might not be your future that would be the lower, you know, the higher income tax bracket. We want to convert when we're in a lower income tax bracket to avoid higher income taxes in the future. That might not be for us. It could be for our heirs. Let's pretend we're in a lower tax bracket now. We're retired. We're in a 12% tax bracket, maybe a 22% tax bracket. We did a great job raising our children. They're surgeons and lawyers, and they're making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're in a 35% tax bracket. Well, maybe I want to convert IRA money to Roth when I'm in a low tax bracket because I know my kids are going to inherit my IRAs. The IRAs have to be taken out within 10 years to non-spouse beneficiaries. It could accelerate all kinds of income on those high-earning, you know, accomplished children. And maybe we want to pay the income taxes kind of like a parting gift for them as part of our estate planning. So you want to look at the tax implications to you as well. Folks, I'm sorry I ran out of time. There was just too much to talk about. I never think it's enough to talk about, and then it's always too much to talk about. Next week, I have to have a pre-recorded show, so I apologize for that. But we will be back the following week. I want to thank all the callers this evening. That was really great. I love the questions. Those can also be submitted through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. If you need any follow-up, I'm happy to do that. I don't chase you down. I just answer your questions, and I really appreciate them and any show ideas that you might have. So thank you, callers. Thank you, Cindy, for being here. Thank you, Bridger. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.